Hello, everybody. I'm Brian Levine. Welcome to The Gould Standard, a podcast brought to you by the Glenn Gould Foundation. We bring you conversations with remarkable people from around the world of the arts. If you turn to music, film, poetry, novels, videos, design, and architecture to lift your spirits and bring you hope in difficult times, you've anchored at the right port of call. Be sure to press like, share, and subscribe. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave your reviews and post your questions and be part of our community of friends and supporters. Also, to get more wonderful words, images, and sounds, you can pay us a visit at our website, www.glenngould.ca. And while you're there, you'll notice that we are a registered Canadian charity. If you'd like to make a donation to support our work, we would be ever so grateful. Now, today, we're delighted to be speaking with Philippe Starck, one of the most dynamic figures in the world of creativity. Philippe Starck has created over 10,000 designs, but he shies away from identifying himself as a designer. His creations include everything from a toothpick to a toilet brush to a dazzling array of furniture, a space station, hotels, restaurants, and yachts, as well as eco-friendly housing in between. Name just about anything, and Philippe Starck has designed at least one of them. But at the core of his work is a deep commitment to serving humanity, democratizing design, and to making the world around him a better, more compassionate, and humane place. Despite the fact that his creativity finds expressions in objects that can be purchased, he is anything but materialistic, famously saying, "Today we need more thinking, not more chairs." This past fall, Starck was a member of our Glenn Gould Prize jury, which selected Indigenous filmmaker and artist Alanis Obomsawin as the newest Glenn Gould Prize laureate, and his idealism, originality of thought, and integrity were fully in evidence throughout the deliberations. I am looking forward to exploring with him not only his work, but also the ideas, inner passions, and values that underlie his extraordinary life. Starck, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's so good of you to be with us. Now, I'd like to start, because I've always been curious about your early life and your forming experiences, the things that really got you started on your path, and how did they shape your worldview?
Now, before I answer, I have to say something. Dear people who are listening to us, I can give you a guarantee. You will listen a podcast, I think the name, from a real French. That means somebody who is not able to speak any other language than French, and even not. That's why you will spend 1 hour and a half, you will understand nothing, but perhaps the music is charming. That's why it's 1 hour of abstract music, but that means strictly nothing. Now, to answer you, so I think the best is always to start by the parents, because even I try to avoid to have parents, I am the son of somebody. My mother was a star, incredibly beautiful woman, and she makes things in cinema, things like that. She was a star, and a star in all the dimension of a star at this time. That's why a star. My father was a quite famous star of plane engineering. He had a factory of plane, and he was known to make the most elegant airplane, the best. All that was destroyed by the Second War to give space to American airplane industry. But from my mother, I had this idea of, I don't know if this name exists in English, but in French that means really something of panache. D'Artagnan, the musketeer, mm-hmm. have a panache. That means to have always in your life the panache, the elegance. Never complain, never say anything bad, always do it in a beautiful way. And that I think it's important. Even when I was living with my mother after the divorce, and we had strictly nothing, almost nothing to eat, because my father was not very fair, we had always this panache, and we drink champagne at half dollars, but it was champagne. Perhaps not, but that looked like. Perhaps it's the base of my life, the panache, the elegance in life, not in clothes. From my father, I received for heritage the idea that creativity is the only beautiful job in life because you have no slaves. Your only slave, it's yourself. And creativity can do everything. Science can do everything. And you have a duty to create. And hopefully, at the beginning, when I was small, for some reason I don't know, my bed was in the office of my father. And I saw this guy directly drawing, create planes and things like that, and make this beautiful line. At this time, I'm sorry, now, when you design a plane, it's a computer who designs the line of the wings and things like that. At this time, there was no computer. And it was called the chic. This also is very French. That means the line, this curve, is made de chic. That means it's a movement of the hand, perhaps like some Japanese calligraph, which makes things like that. It's a movement. It's purely physical, and the movement which makes the design. And de chic was this. And this was my heritage. After, my other base is very heavy religious education. Mm-hmm. And since this time, I am a fighter of any type of believing and is a slave religion. I hate it. For me, believing, it's a shame and it's a negation of human intelligence, which is, that means, when you believe, you deny what we are. But I think I receive somewhere the idea that everything has to go high. Everything to be good for other people. And you have to serve. You have to serve. And finally, I have tried all my life, and I almost succeed to be good. I never make something bad except to the woman I love, but that it's normal. And out of that, and that make me so ashamed, I am good. I make things only good. So it's what I try to do. This is the foundation, I think. And after one of the foundation, I am French.
Right.
Even I become after apatride, that means no patry, living in the plane all my life, living in US, living in England, living in Portugal, living in Spain, living in Italy, sometimes in Paris, I am French.
Being French, panache is part of your birthright.
Absolutely.
It is part of being French.
Right.
You studied at the École Commando. I don't know much about that school. Was that valuable for you?
Brian, there is a lot of things more important than that to say before, if you know the truth. The truth is, I am a little Asperger. I am enough to be cuckoo and creative, and not too much to use it, to drive it, to control it, which make me always out of everything. Since I born, I live somewhere else, in a dark crystal bubble, in a dark spiral, which is absolutely not fun. It's even scary, but it's my life. I live somewhere else in pure relativity, we shall come back on that, with no test for life, with test for nothing. Because I was like this, and it's really this, because at this time, I was not so ugly. I was cute, good education, well-dressed, and theoretically, I have everything to have everything. But, you know, at my age, at perhaps, I don't know, 16, 17, something like that, I don't remember, I was very interested to meet a girl. And it was an absolute failure. Absolute failure, not because the girl don't like me. It was worse. It's because girls don't see me. And nobody see me. I was absolutely invisible. And I can tell you, when you are 17 and you are invisible, that's strange. Very strange. And it was so strange, I cannot say that I decide, but I finished in my room, in my bedroom, for a few years, in my empty, completely empty bedroom with no furniture, asking to myself where I can be, who I can be, what I shall do, with absolutely any clue, any clue. My mother was always away with beautiful man. My father was always out with a lot of girls. And me, I was alone in the middle of nowhere. And I remember that my father was an inventor, and that looked fun. I remember a movie I saw alone, like always, very young. It was The Invisible Man. And I remember that the Invisible Man was invisible except when he put some stripes, some band aids around him, and he became visible. And I not decide, because it was more a rescue, I don't know, than something else. I said, the only thing I can do is to create things to put around me and to become visible. And that is the only reason I have started to work, because it was not my idea. My idea was to continue to dream, because I am, at this time, I was not a professional dreamer, but I was a dreamer. And all this time was good for me, because during this time, I subconsciously, I build all my ethic, I build all my vision, and after I had just to apply that. But why, that's why I start to create, but I don't know what. Something who was the big step, I don't know, was the big edge, was one night I come back at home. My mother was in the living room with one of his boyfriend. We do the clangy, so chic, French aristocracy. And I was in the corridor. I don't make noise. And I heard this man say to my mother, Jacqueline, my mother named Jacqueline, Jacqueline, your son will be gay. You have to make a job of gay. And my mother said, yes, we have tried to tell him he can become a hairdresser, but he come back sometimes and he don't like it. He don't like it. The guy said, perhaps he design all the time. Perhaps why not become an interior designer? My mother said, so what is this? And the guy said, but there is a school, I know a school, and I'm sure he will love that. And the day after, my mother arrived and said, Philippe, I had an idea, you design all that, why you don't make interior design? And me, I don't know what it is. And me, I am very nice guy. Yes, maman. And I jump on a moped and I go to 68 rue de Monceau, at Nissine de Camondo. And there was a stair like that. And on the stair, there was some sketch on tracing paper, A4. And I look at that, I said, my God, it's so interesting, so modern, so beautiful. Oh, that's why I go, I become a member of the school. And it was something like 54 years ago. And 54 years ago, I still work, I still draw on the same A4 tracing paper, and I continue to draw on that. The only difference now, they are made specially for me with a special paper, tracing paper, which is made in plastic. Yes. That's why I become an interior designer without have any desire, any know-how about that. That's why very fast I stopped to go to the school, like always, because, yes, I have not told you that I was never in school. My mother don't know that I never go to school because I had a genius idea, which was the first day of my first school. I see the book you have to make with a signature of your parents. And I said, I have to sign myself. And my mother never know that there was a book in the different school and you have to sign. That's why, because I was escaping. I was a fugitive. And when you are 8, 9, 12 years old, alone in Paris, the winter, when you hide you in the porte cochère, in a door like that, when there is snow, rain, cold, when you are sick, it's not fun. And after my mother moved and she go in a very chic suburb in the west of Paris, and I make the same thing in a forest, in a deep forest. I show it to Jasmine, and on a bench, there is a bench, and I spend all my youth on this bench hidden in this forest. And every 2-3 weeks, the different director sends the police to find me, and I see the police arrive, and I arrive, I come back to school, and they hit me, and the day after, I was out. But the big thing of that is that teach me how live with this, because when the few days I was in school, I was designing nonstop. All the teachers understand there was something a little special. They put me at the end of the school class, and I sell my tranquility, my peace for the design, because they want my design. And I said, okay, I give you my design, but you don't speak to me. And it was done. That's why, and it's not a joke, that's why today I work on Space Lab, on International Space Station. I'm a very good engineer. I make revolutionary type of things, but I don't know my alphabet. Absolutely don't know. I don't know the months in the right order. And I don't know, I know make addition, but I don't know make a subtraction. I don't know how to make a division. I know nothing. That's why everything I know today, I have learned by myself. I am not able to learn. And the only thing I know now, it's very few things. I know create. I know very complicated, sophisticated things in high tech and things like that. I know how to pilot my plane. I know how to drive my boat, my motorcycle, and that's all. I have no idea of the life around me. I have built a castle of crystal made only of women, mainly my wife and my wife team, and everybody work to protect me. Because I'm a little oversensitive and I cannot see something ugly. the deep web ugly. I cannot. And that's why I live in this bubble. But this bubble, first, it's not very fun because my first dream was to know things, to know people. And I still don't know the things. And I still don't know the people. And the crystal is never crystal clear. The crystal from inside, it's gray and matte. And it's not fun. So I have dedicated my life to this creativity. I don't know for what advantage. Me, I sell my soul to the devil to stay in my crystal ball. And it worked.
First of all, good for you, but also for the world, that you were able to find a way to be with your own special needs and sense of isolation, but I sense also wanting to connect with other people. Glenn Gould was in many ways like that. A lot of people think that he had Asperger's and he was very much apart from other people, but always connecting through other means, including his music, of course, and the telephone and other devices. So I think it's a shame that you couldn't have met him. I think you'd have had a lot to talk about.
Yes. Oh, but for the same reason.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. He did like to talk. He talked a lot.
I never speak to anybody. My only communication, my deep communication, it just make non-stop stupid vulgar joke. That's all. With my friend, we only make joke and joke. Humor, humor, humor. And like that avoid me to speak seriously. Because I don't want to speak seriously because there is Lacan, the French philosopher, Lacan said in French, le dis-tu. That means in English, when you say something, you kill what you say. And me, I don't want, because when I speak about what I do, I kill my dream, and after I cannot do it.
Right.
There is some birds which don't touch their eggs if somebody have touched the eggs. Me, if somebody touched my dream, a dream can be 40 years long, 40 years, 10 years, 20 years, 5 years, 3 months, 2 weeks, and things like that. But I have a lot of things working non-stop like that. But if I speak about it, that go to garbage.
It reminds me of the story of the centipede, the little insect with 100 legs. And ask the centipede, how do you manage to move all of those legs without them bumping into each other and tripping and getting tangled up? And the centipede said, I never thought about it. Let me try to describe it to you. And as soon as he thought about it, he couldn't move anymore.
Exact. I think there is two ways to live. Or you live with your conscious part, I don't know, or you live with your subconscious. I'm sorry for my English.
Yes, subconscious.
I am really not intelligent. Really, I have strictly no intelligence, the conscious part. But I am a monster in my subconsciousness. And nothing can control this. I just drive it a little. But so well drive, it's astonishing because I can drive my creativity when I sleep. And I use what is called the ALF. And during years, every day, I can fly in my project.
You can control your alpha waves.
Yes, absolutely.
Amazing.
I may very deeply, very strongly, with real result.
Wow, that's incredible. Let's go back to a little bit of history again. Early in your career, you worked with companies like Pierre Cardin and Adidas, which that doesn't necessarily suggest the kind of truly original career path that you've ultimately achieved. Even back then, did you feel that was some way constraining or limiting to you and that you wanted something that would take you in a completely different direction, a much more universal direction?
No. My wife told me one day something which astonished me. She told me I have dreamed my life. I dream all my life. I know exactly what I want to do. I was astonished. Me, I never dream my life. I even don't know it was possible to dream my life. But what I know that I never was an employee because I have no clue of this type of relation. No clue. And I am not able to have a boss because I don't know how it works. I never had it. I even in my company now, I am not a boss. I am always nowhere. My office is in Paris. Me, I live everywhere in the world. I go one day by month in the office and I scream. No, I cry this day. That's why Pierre Cardin was, I was very young. It's because this is very important age also in my life. By, for some hazard, we can say hazard, you said in English, I start to design, but really I was not interested by that, but I start to design furniture. Yeah. And finally, I saw it and I said, wow, that's new. I was 16, 17 years old. And I said, wow. And I said, I have something, I have an asset, I have something which have a value, I think.
Yes.
But I cannot imagine what I have designed in a furniture shop, because the furniture shop is so old, so obsolete, so vulgar. That's why I at this time, Pierre Cardin was the modern guy. He was, wow, the avant-garde in everything.
Yes.
And I said, it is the only guy to produce, to sell my furniture.
Right.
That's why finally I obtained a meeting with him and I show him my 72 project and immediately engage me. Immediately. He said, your office now is in front of the Élysée Palace. You have everything. I was very happy. But the problem, very fast, I discover that for my Catholic reason, I am a communist. Because Christianism, I don't know what you said, Christian and
Christianity,
communist.
Yes.
Christianity is the same thing. And that's why communists fight it. And deeply, me, I'm communist. And I discover that me, I won't make millions of good projects at $1 for everybody. And him, he won't make one project at $1 million. It was completely at the extreme. He was haute couture, one dress. I dream about democratic and bring the best for everybody. It was the same dream, that's why I left. And after I make an inflatable structure.
Mm-hmm. Those were inflatable furniture pieces, right?
Oh, furnitures and big things, huge things like buildings. Building. I was 17 years old. You know, it was fun because one day I was in the school of Nissim de Camondo, exceptionally. And the guy of the door arrived and said, Philippe, come on in my cabin. Look at the television. You're at the news. You're at the news. And we go, we run, and I went at the news with my huge, which was the biggest inflatable structure in the world at this time. And it was my first success. I was not paid, sure, because... Also, my education, religious education, bring me the idea that you have to despite money. Money is dirty. I continue to think it. But it was my first thing, yes.
Amazing. Now, it wasn't long after that that you had a kind of a career breakthrough when you were commissioned to design the private apartments for France's president, François Mitterrand. How did that come about, and what sorts of opportunities came to you as a result of that?
You know, me, I am, because communism real communism don't more exist. That's why I am always left, very left. And I love François Mitterrand, but I don't know him. I just love this president. But at this time, I was living in Dallas. Everything else. One day, one morning, ring, ring. Hello, Monsieur Philippe Stark, yes. Le président de la République, François Mitterrand, want to see you. Hein? Can you come tomorrow morning? Oh, yes, no problem. I was in Dallas. I said, yes, no problem. And took a jump on a plane. I have no money. I take three steps to have a cheap ticket, and I arrive. And was very interesting, very intelligent, very high culture, and nice person. And he was very not comfortable, I'm sorry for my English, because he thinks the French people live in the past, especially in furniture, in decoration, and things like that. He was very modernistic in style. He was even almost avant-garde. And he said, I need somebody to make the apartment of the Élysée Palace to show something modern, and all the furniture will be given to a French company like that would be free with a tooling and things like that, and we can start an industry, French industry, of modern design. I do it. The only problem is nobody wants it. And finally, all of this very good model was sold to Italian company, and it was the things which are still success and bestseller today. But I was very proud to be chosen by François Mitterrand, and because at this time I was definitely not politically correct. I run with a motorcycle, a motocross motorcycle with no tires on the wheel. I had a black leather jacket with blood everywhere. I stink because I live in a small room with no toilets. I was a bump. I was a punk bump.
You are punk bum.
I was a punk bum, and somebody, advisor of Mitterrand, said there was only one guy interesting with new ID, it's Philippe Stark. And Mitterrand said, find me this guy.
Exactly. And of course, there's a long tradition in France of loving the enfant terrible, so you got to be an enfant terrible for that purpose. A bit of a sidestep. Why is it that you don't like to be called a designer? Why you've described design as cynical?
Not design is cynical. People who make design are sometimes cynical. I don't like to be a designer because that makes me ashamed. Because life told me that there is only two types of life, two types of people who save life and people who don't save life. Design can help perhaps to have a better life, but is not able to save life and not create life definitively. And also my only things is there is only two types of project and people who make project. The people who make project which help our evolution, and people who make things useless.
You've made a lot more than a toilet brush. And,
yes,
you know, there's a toothbrush as well. Seriously, I mean, you've touched on two of the things that I actually really love about you. I really love this about you. One is that you don't speak about design in an abstract or academic way, which means nothing to ordinary people. It's always deeply sincere, and it's completely human way of communicating. And you also aren't afraid to draw the connection between your work and some central values that unite all people. For example, the whole conversation about evolution, which I think is really fascinating, to place the work you do, even if sometimes you think that it's not a huge contribution, but it's a contribution in evolution. Can you expand a little bit more on your thoughts about evolution and where the kinds of work we do in creating our created environment fits in that plan?
Difficult to fit that. But I don't jump by the window, but I stay all my life very pessimistic, very black, very dark, and very close of the suicide. I never told you also, when I was very young, I organized the murder of my father, but I miss it, that don't work, and I organized 3 suicides of my mother. The last one almost succeeded. That's why, for me, life, death, something like that, it's not a big difference. And I discover the beauty, the absolute beauty of the story of our animal species. This amoeba, which become, to do it fast and not really true, but to make the image, this amoeba which become a fish, which become a frog, which change a lot things, which become a monkey, and the monkey we are today, the super monkey we are today, and we born about something 1 billion point four, and we shall be out of this world when the sun will implode in 1 billion point 2. That means we are at the middle of the story. We are at the middle of the book. It's incredible. And when you see the work we do from the amoeba to the super monkey we are, and what we are today, what we shall become in 1 billion years, wow, it's astonishing. It's astonishing. Mm-hmm. And for me, there is not a better book than our book. There is not a better movie than our movie. And I become addict to us. I become addict to this animal species, which for some reason, like Jérôme Monod said, pour le hasard et la nécessité, start to become intelligent, which invent intelligence, and this, it's an enormous spiral. And with the cream of intelligence, the creativity, and the concept of love. That's why, since this time, I live almost only for this, for love, for the love for my wife, which is the only thing which exists, and for the love, for this permanent evolution. And people think we are something solid, something static. It's not true. We are a speed. The best way to see us is to see like this, but in one way only, to see out of focus. Because since we have started to speak, we have changed. I have changed. You have changed. Everything has changed. People who listen to us have changed. That's why we have to not lose time. This evolution is incredibly strong. And why I am also against any type of believing and religion, it's because religion is the worst criminal of all the history of humanity, with the Middle Age, yes, something like that. 1,200 years where the religion said the world is flat and no scientist, we shall burn it, and things like that. When you know the exponential speed of creativity, which create creativity, can you imagine what we miss to be if there was not this 1,200 years of darkness? It's astonishing. Yes. And I am convinced that all the problem we have today, it's because we have this darkness during 1,000 years. because we have today, I feel something which is bad in the coherence. There is something which is not good. And this makes a scratch, scratch, permanent scratch, scratch, scratch. Right. That's why there is modern people, avant-garde, there is people of the past, and all there is this fight. Which,
this clash, a clash.
Yes, this clash, and which keep us like this to our animality, which is our goal, because we want to become pure intelligence and spirit and good, because always intelligent people are good. There is no war made by intelligent people. I know a lot of quite famous people in the world, king of the world, and I can tell you, I see clearly the difference of the real genius with the fake genius, because the real genius are always very nice people.
It's really interesting, and you touch on a point. The great conductor Leopold Stokowski said, and he was very much against the Vietnam War, and he said, they spend so much time and energy and mechanical skill and strategy to make war, and yet it is the lowest form of human intelligence.
Definitely. With the most intelligent weapons. That means this consume, this vacuum, intelligence of the best engineer and things like that, the money which can make other creativity to death.
It is incredible. Well, and that brings me to another part, because again, one of the things that I feel in your work and in everything that you express is this, first of all, this spirit of love, this insatiable curiosity, wanting to know and to discover the next thing, but also this feeling about human beings. And that brings me to the idea of democratic design, which you've expressed in making beautiful things available to everyone because they can become affordable, and working with, for example, Target, 7-Eleven. But for me, one of the most pure expressions, and I'd really love you to talk about this, is the ideas box that you created for Bibliothèque Sans Frontières. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, very easily, because it's not my idea. I help them. And I love these people because this idea is incredible, incredibly good, really good. When you have lost everything, a lot of people in the world, even now when we speak, your village is burnt. Your parents was cut in thin slices. Big wave, you have a huge fire. People, a lot of people, millions of people today have lost everything. Okay, there is some people, some company who give new houses, food, clothes, something like that. But these people have a real trauma. And the only thing, except doctor treated that, but it's complicated, that means that need a lot of people, it's to rebuild your imaginaire, your dream, rebuild your dream.
The inner life?
Absolutely. And ID's box is box, I have designed box. And from plane, military plane, we launch with parachute, airborne, something like that. This box, we create a village with a tent, with stools, with small table and things like that. And people can come and they have books, they have a computer, but mainly books, mainly based on books. And children and adults can rebuild themselves. And it's work. It's a huge success. And for me, every book we give, it's like a brick to rebuild their own mental house. That's why it's a beautiful job. And I repeat, everybody in the world asks them to come because there is this problem and this problem, there is this disaster. That is me. I am always searching the win-win. I am not looking for the win-win. I'm looking for the good. Because always in every, almost every human project, there is a price to pay. There is, to have the good part, you need to pay the bad part. Mm-hmm. Look at the nuclear. Nuclear, the atomic. It's astonishing. Atomic is the best invention. But we have the atomic to make energy, but we have the pollution and we have the war with. That's why I am always looking for absolute virtue project. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult if you are honest with yourself. And this book is absolute virtue.
So a good place to donate, Bibliothèque Sans Frontières. And this goes into refugee camps and places where people, after they have the basic medical care and food and shelter, this is rebuilding their and helping them to cope with trauma and loss of the inner life. So it's a wonderful project. And I think it is a democratic design expression. But some of the others, of course, are things like, for example, my beautiful Philippe Starck watch, which unfortunately the battery ran out, so it doesn't light up right now, but it's affordable, it's functional, and it's beautiful, and has panache.
But thank you very much. I love this. This one was designed 35 years ago. 35 years ago, and now all the smartwatch look like that. And I have to say, I don't want to be pretentious or proud, but when I launch this brand of watch, it was written that it was not a watch, it was a platform for other service. That means I have to say, I have invented smartwatch.
Good
but
for
other
you.
People do it.
And they don't send you royalty checks?
No, no.
Oh, that's so sad. Maj.
About royalty check, one day, Piero Gandini, my light editor, Italian, called me and said, Philippe, you have to design a new collection. There is a Salone of Milan who arrive, and you have to design. And me, I was watching on television with Rare, the attack of Kuwait by Saddam Hussein. And I saw Saddam Hussein with gold Kalashnikov.
Yes.
And, wow. And I decided to make instant project. On the telephone, he asked me to make a new project. I look at the television. I saw the Kalashnikov. I said, okay, we shall make a lamp with the Kalashnikov. And it was a big success. It's still a big success. A collection is called Gun, with Beretta for the responsibility of Europe, for the Kalashnikov for the responsibility of USSR, and the M16 for the responsibility of USA, because if we leave, it's because we sell weapons, we kill people. We have to know it. But about royalties, I read somewhere that Mr. Kalashnikov complained because he said, I have made the biggest success of initial design, which is true, perhaps more than 1 billion, a milliard, how you said? Billion object plus a copy and things like that, and never had royalties. And I said, my God, he's so cynical, he's so shame. I shall send him my royalties. And we make some search to find him because I won't really humiliate him.
Yes.
To say it, and give him for the first time royalties with his Kalashnikov. And he died 2 months before.
Oh, you missed the chance.
I gave the royalties to other people for the personal mine.
That also expresses something else that I think is wonderful in your work, which is humor, a sense of whimsy, sometimes satire, and also the kind of lightness that comes from not taking everything too seriously. Is that important to you in the way you approach your work?
It's not important. It's vital, and it's part of the panache The only elegance you can have is to speak lightly of heavy things, and in a heavy way of light thing, like that it's fun.
Yes.
I repeat, I am not intelligent. That's why I am a fan. I am a fan of intelligence. And that's why I am a fan of intelligent people. And one of the best is Einstein. Mm-hmm. And I had always a feeling to born with inside, like Intel, inside relativity. Mm-hmm. And for me, nothing exists. I have a sort of vice in the head that everything is atom in movement, yes, with different architecture. But that means if you do that, the architecture change, and that so nothing exists. And if nothing exists, why be serious? Make you have to do to help your friend, right, your community, but out of that, please, don't be serious. It's ridiculous. Nothing exists. And, right, and for me, humor is an extreme symptom also of human intelligence. And to come back on relativity, for me, the only thing which exists, that's why I spoke before about love. When, like me, you fly with no anchor, you are like that. Ooh, it's very tiring, super tiring. And sometimes it's good to hook something. And for me, at the end, I always do that, but I can confirm that the only thing which exists, it's love. When I love my wife, she's in front of me, I see clearly a tube, a solid tube made of concrete between her and me. And that is solid because I can check this love. Nothing else, all the other things I can check. That's why for me, I repeat, nothing exists except really like a material love.
That's, and I see it in your work. But I'd like to actually take a look at how you approach a project. And if you don't mind, even though it's another one of your older designs, I'd like to suggest one of your classics, which is the Juicy Salif Lemon Squeezer, which I adore. I just adore it. It has panache. It is surprising. It is a tripod. And
you will be disappointed.
How did you come about it?
So you have to understand, there is two parts in my job. Or the idea comes from myself, 80%, and I do it. Or my editors expect from me X model, and I have to produce. And this, it's the bread and butter of my family. We yes, eat with that. I'm obliged to do it. And I love my editors, and they are nice people, and it's fun. That's why one day, winter, a long time ago, I decide to take a few days in a small island of Italy. I don't know at this time that Italian small island in winter are desert, boring, rainy, and cold. On the way, I stop in close Milano, in the lake, to see my friend and editor, Alberto Alessi, of the company Alessi. Mm-hmm. And he said, you have to design something because they depend on my model. I depend from their work. And he had no idea, and he said, why you don't design to put on the table a box to put the butter?
A butter dish.
Box to put the butter. First, it's bad to eat butter. Very bad for health. I shall not contribute to that. And I said, wow, so bourgeois. I cannot design something so stupid. I am very nice and very gentle. I said, yes, Alberto, it's a very good idea. I shall try. And really, I try. I shall try to have a good idea with a stupid base, which is never good. And I arrived at the island, I go in a pizzeria. I was alone. I order a pizza. And I was the only client, but it was very long. And during this time, I was thinking about Alberto Alessi. And I said, I cannot design this. I cannot design this. I have to think about something else. And I love something which is called topology. It's a science. Topology, it's yes. When you speak about the surface of the things. And the butter box bring me to a lemon squeezer. I don't know why. And I said, a lemon squeezer is something like that. You push like that. It's okay. Now, if I inverse the topology, what that will do? And I designed it because the tablecloth was in paper. I have always a pen. And I start to design the inverse, topologic inverse of a regular lemon squeezer. And that make my lemon squeezer from Alessi, which was the biggest success in the world.
Yes.
And you know why it's interesting? Because this come from nowhere. That come from some reason which have no reason with butter or lemon. And that come from a science, topology, and that come with the idea of a deep fantasy. That's why. You see, creativity, it's very complex. Something yes. which is simple, if we speak about coming from nowhere, is when I designed for Cartel, the other Italian company, because I'm an Italian designer, AI, the chair designed by artificial intelligence. That is interesting. I design, and after a time, I said, but finally, I can make this, blue, yellow, transparent, opaque, orange, but it's the same shit. It's always the same. It's boring. Yeah. And I look, and I don't want to do that. I have not a grocery. I'm a creator. And I look at other designer, very good designer, and I see they make this, but it was always the same shit, like me. That's why the Beatles make music called, they said, I need a little help from my friend.
My friends, right.
But it's not the same friend. Fully for me, but I said I need a little help from my friend, and I never call anybody. It's exceptional. Autodesk is a Californian company, number one of artificial intelligence. Hopefully, these people was very nice, very open. They love me, and I love them. And I said, "Can you give me? Can I speak to your brain?" They said, "Yes, Philippe, with pleasure." And my goal, my target was to create something, a chair, that can be something else, but it was a chair. Because it's very difficult to make a good chair, strangely. With absolutely no culture, no history, no memory, no nostalgia, no anything from me. Nothing from a human. That's why the relation with the brain have to be very sharp and short. Mm-hmm. And I ask, can you help me to rest my body with the minimum of energy and the minimum of material or materiality? I don't know.
Yeah.
There is no clue of who I am, except, yes, I am a human. I am a human. I have a body. I am a human. But there is no clue. The machine start to work. The poor machine was completely lost during 2 years. During 2 years, we have a beautiful movie of this where you see it. She tried things and she understand, she make a mistake, she come back and she try other ways. It's a mistake. Oh, no, no. It was painful. It was so painful for me to see that. It was a pity. I said to the people of Autodesk, we stop. It's not able to do it. We have to stop. It's ridiculous. I said, no, we shall never stop. We continue. After almost, I don't remember seriously, 2 years, 2 years and a half, I don't know. It succeeded. And suddenly appeared something, which was the best chair in the world, because it was big surprise, super comfortable. There was the less possible of material and the less possible of energy. It was done. I was exactly, I create my position like Kasparov when he fight against the computer, he lose. And yeah. Me, I was very happy because I lose. This chair was better. This was better than me. But the two other surprise was it was so me. It was so stark that nobody trust me. When I said it's a computer would do it, I said, yes, yes. And my editor said, yes, bravo, Philippe, yes, yes. Beautiful media thing. My wife said, oh, you always exaggerate. No, no, there is proof. I don't design it.
All I can one thing that I take from that story is it's a measure of your compassion that you even felt bad for the suffering of an AI. You were feeling guilty that you caused it so much pain and struggle.
Yes, yes, yes. No. I feel bad. I feel like somebody was a slave. And for me, it was really horrible.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to combine two of the questions together. And that has to do with the question of how do you know when a design is done? And I'm going to combine that with my question about your work in yachts, and specifically Venus for Steve Jobs. Because it sounds from what I've read that you thought it was done, but it wasn't quite done yet for a while. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. First, when you know it's finished, because all the parameters create... It brings together parameters in harmony. And that can make this, that can make this, that can make this. There is still not harmony. And at the end, when you are lucky, suddenly that makes stunk. And for me, that goes very fast. Sometimes it's made with minutes because I'm cuckoo. And after I check if it's really harmonious. If everything is well balanced or... unbalance and purpose. And that's why it's clear. And I'm sure when Mick Jagger have sing for the first time Satisfaction, he know it was a song. It, like in front of a painting is it work or not. Now for Venus, it was a strange work. First, it was a big at this time. At this time, Steve was God. And when God called you after years of thinking who can design his boat, when he select you definitively, you said, hey, I'm not so bad. For the first story, it was fun because when he called me first and do you want to make a boat? I said, yes, but I was in a hurry, I had a plane to take. And how long you want, six or five, I don't remember. And that's all. He said, okay, I send you a plane. Never send the plane, but I take the plane and I go to LA for something else, for Mama Shelter. Mm-hmm. And my wife was sleeping, and me, I was not sleeping, jet lag. And I take my pad, and in 3 hours and a half, I design completely, all the floors, completely everything. And when I wake up, I said, well, okay, Steve Jobs, so chic. I don't take risk, really. We don't have the meeting set, but I call my office and said, okay, I send you all the drawings, make clean drawings, computer drawings, some computer image, and a scale model. After 2 weeks, we set the meeting. I arrive in Palo Alto, in the small house of Steve, and he starts to speak to me, to explain me what he wants. And because after, he almost don't speak. And I said, I'm sorry, I have prepared something. Do you want to see it? Huh? Don't like surprise. We open the fly case, and he takes the model. He takes the model. He looked at it. He said, the model is really shit. Next time, ask me because this model is really shit. It was absolutely perfect. said, okay, start well. And he said something I think he never said to anybody in his life. He said exactly, it's beyond all my dreams. And he put the scale model on the table, the coffee table. We open all the drawings, and during all the day, all the Sunday, he checked all the details on the drawings and the scale model. And at the end of the day, he said, it's perfect. And we never touch it. We never change anything. Just during 7 years, we was to say, and this, the radius, it's 1.3 millimeters or 1.6 millimeters. And 3 months later, no, the radius had to have 0.8 millimeters. And because he know very well the shipyard, he know exactly the schedule when the decision have to be frozen. It for him, the pleasure was to work with me just on small details to refine, because the project was done the first day. And sometimes I said, Steve, that become ridiculous. To speak frankly, Steve, all these things, you are the emperor of control freak. I am the king of control freak. So we make definitively something which will never happen. I invent any patent for him, like always. Everybody knows Steve. Was revolutionary. It was very hard because Steve was very hard. He loved us. He loved me and my wife, Jasmine. He tried to be gentle because he loved us. But for him, it was impossible. He never succeeded to be really gentle, to be kind.
But, so it sounded like it started very happily, but if it was fun for him or a real pleasure for him to keep working on these minute details with you, it wasn't fun for you. That must have been frustrating.
No, it was not fun for me because it was really losing time. I can tell you immediately it's 1.5. Perhaps Steve can say it's 1.7. We can say, okay, we take 1.6, it's okay. It's take 10 seconds. This was years, 6 years. 6 years, every Sunday, all the Sunday coming in Palo Alto with a jet lag. No, it was ridiculous. It was a little pervert.
Yeah.
It was a little pervert. And one day, he died. He died. He tell us, guys, I shall disappear. I don't remember 6 months, and I shall come back the 20th of November at 10 o'clock, something like that. 20 at 10 o'clock, I receive a call of Steve. Okay, I rebirth. You have to come to work. I arrive in Palo Alto, and he starts to immediately speak about the boat. I said, hey, Steve, I know you don't like to speak, but he was dead. You rebirth, we can speak about it. Perhaps you have some things to say, interesting for me. But he loved me, that's why. Okay. Yeah. Bombasso, it was very hard. It was incredible. And fully, I had this boat to sink. I had only this boat to sink, which make me out of suffering. And that was very important. And also, I know now, I love my family. I love my company. And after, he said, and I have only problem in life. I said, yes, Steve, what it is, you don't live in my street. I want you to live in my street.
That's a compliment.
It was nice.
That was a compliment. And I have to say, if people haven't seen the Venus, which was launched after, about a year after Steve's death, go and look it up, because it is. A jewel, a very big jewel, but it is astonishing. And I have to say, while you're at it, look at the Sailing Yacht A and the Motor Yacht A, because these are among the most remarkable pieces of ship design I've ever seen.
But to speak about A is very personal, is very particular, because we had the same religion, less. It was more than a philosophy. It was a religion. That means that this boat, is not the result of a design. This boat is a pure result, a crystal pure result of a philosophy. That makes this big difference. It was invisibility, transparency, invisibility. For the two other boats, a motor yacht and sailing boat, this is different. I know very well, since he was 20, I know the owner, who is a very charming guy. He's a scientist. He's a genius, absolute genius. And he had a dream. Not for the first one. For the first one, it was like for Steve, I make what I want. He sees the plan. He sees perfect. He never discussed. He never discussed about nothing. And the boat was perfect. Because on Steve, sometimes it was bad. Because we turn, but for this monster of sailing boat, which is the biggest sailing boat of history of humanity, which your journalist said, I love that. It was his dream. He said, "I want a castle on the sea. I want a galleon, and a boat. It's always a dream of a child." Boat, it's always a child who is on the beach. It's boring for him. He's in holiday with his parents and he sees all these boats like that, which fly on the sea, on the waves. And he said, one day I shall have one like that. Mm-hmm. And my friend, André, also had this dream. But his dream was a castle, a huge castle. And I do it because I have not discussed dreams. But I do it with the most intelligence possible.
I still want to ask you about hotels and restaurants, about this amazing hotel in Metz with the house on top of the hotel. And I want to ask you about so many other things. But we have some students who have given us questions, design students from the Ontario College of Art and Design. And I can't let you go without giving them a chance to give their questions. I hope that we'll be able to do this again, and then I will ask you about building hotels with houses on top and about furniture and about designing speakers and headphones. But I do want to get back to end my questions about really some of the most important values, because you've talked about love and you've talked about humor and you've talked about serving. And it really does feel as though you're no poseur. This is real. That you feel that your work is in service of friends, community, and the society around you. Can you talk a little bit more about that sense that when you get up in the morning, there it feels like, what can I do with my pen and my A4 pad that is going to make other people's lives better? Can you talk a little bit about that?
It's nothing more complicated. First, to speak about poseur. To be a poseur, you need to be intelligent. Me, I am not enough intelligent to be a poseur, and also I don't want to lose my time. I have no time. I have almost everything, but not time. It's difficult to speak because I explained. First, you have to understand, it's a sickness. If I am not thinking, dreaming, creating, I am lost. That's why it's not a choice. I have no choice. It's like that since ever and forever.
It's amazing, and we all are a little bit richer. That is to say, not richer necessarily in money, but in the real richness, which is the life that we live and share with others and how we use the things around us to relate to other people. So I want to thank you for that. But before I let you go, we did have these wonderful students who have given us questions because they would really love to hear from you. And if I can invite my friend and colleague Olivia to come on, she will read these questions. And I know that the students will be very grateful to get your answers.
First of all, I just want to thank my friend Philippe André Paget for giving me these questions. He is a graduate of OCAD, College of Art and Design, and he helped us put these together. So thank you to my other friend, Philippe. The first one, you talked earlier about your subconscious, and the student wants to know, how do you listen to your subconscious, and did you always trust your subconscious?
Good question. You can trust your subconscious because subconscious is not able to lie. Even me, I have a very strong training to manipulate, but I can manipulate on nothing at the 0.5 radius. That's why I think the real us is our subconscious. The other, it's what the life made, what you want. That's why the conscious part is not interesting. And definitely the creativity is only in the subconscious. That's why I try to go early in my bed. I try to wake up early. I live alone with my wife and my daughter of 9 years old in the middle of nowhere. I live in the middle, at the top of a mountain, two times. I live in the middle of the mud. I live in the middle of the dune where I am. I live in the middle of the forest. And sometimes when I am obliged, I live in the middle of the city in a hotel, anywhere. And I almost don't leave my bedroom. I never go to the office. My bedroom have always a table very close. Here I am at my table to work. My bedroom is exactly at 3 feet, not 2 meters, 2 meters. And I don't go out of my bedroom now since 5 months, and I don't care. I actually don't care. That's why you have to understand that creativity, I don't speak about the quality of creativity. I shall not be enough stupid to speak about quality of my creativity. But creativity is, before everything, management of concentration. That's why it's a life to train to concentrate. That means you have to listen always the same music, to eat the same food, to drink the same, to see the same people, and never listen what people said. Yeah. Hopefully, me, it's easy, I don't understand. But even I don't try to listen. Because when you are not a monk like me, if you have a happy life and you go to cocktail, everything is fun. I am a young designer, so sexy. Now all the designers are young and sexy. Not older and ugly like me. You go to cocktail dinners. And if you go to dinner, you will speak with people. And people repeat what they listen from somebody else. And finally, you just repeat what they repeat. And you don't realize you are just mainstream. And that will be impossible to make something original and personal because you just repeat. Mm-hmm. The key is to stay in front basic, in front the basic emptiness, forest, sand, mud, my best. You have a contract with yourself. You have to say, my pad, my pen, and tonight, we shall not make a pause. But what I am finally, I am the prince of useless. And I spend my life with so much energy, so much honesty to make useless things. And that, if you want to become a designer, think twice. Because I'm not sure the right job if you want to be proud of yourself.
I think you just answered the second question I have for you, the last question I have for you. And that question was, do you have any advice for someone who wants to design and create for a living?
I repeat, creativity, if you are enough lucky to have this sickness, do it. Work a lot on yourself to try to manipulate it, to work with and to live with, because the most beautiful job. But please, don't become a designer for a very simple reason. never start a trendy job. Designer today is very trendy. It's the end, but it's very trendy. I see a generation, some people said it's my fault, but okay, I cannot make something else. I met a lot of young people. Every young people I met, what do you want to do later? Oh, I want to be a designer. Shit. If all the people who want to be designer today become designer, you will have more designers than clients. That means for every fork, you will have one designer. That would be very difficult to eat. That's why think twice, think seriously, and try to find a job which don't exist. Because don't forget me when I started the design that almost don't exist. Mm-hmm. Design was three old men, very talented, Italian, three companies in Italy, and that was all. And 400 clients in the world. It was a jungle. There was nothing of nothing. People were speaking about it, but almost nobody have it. That's why try to find a virgin territory. It's hard. It's scary. You don't make money. Me, I start to have to live comfortable when I was 45. From scratch, from zero to 45, I have nothing to eat. And even I work on my gas counter to trick it to not pay the bill because I cannot pay the bill. And at this time, I had a wife, a daughter, and things like that. But who cares? Who cares about that? Perhaps it was the most interesting time. That's why don't try to be fashionable. Don't try to be rich. If you won't be rich, you will be never rich. Mm. If you just make your job, everybody will be too happy to give you money and you will become rich.
Thank you, Stark.
It's a great pleasure.
Thank you so much.
We continue next week.
Anytime. I still have this many questions, lots and lots. But one last thing, because this we try to do on every episode, and that is if you could tell us a story. It could be a very short story. It could be about someone, something interesting that happened to you, and we can end with that. Just a minute or two.
I don't know. A story. The story of the first, I don't know what, and I don't know when, I don't know where, who was eating some grass in a field with his other friend, I don't know what, and suddenly he raised his head, looked at the sky, and said, I have an ID. And his friend asked, but what is an ID? And he said, I have no ID, but I shall find. That is us. It's the first.
Perfect. Hey, Olivia.
Hi, Brian.
That was quite an amazing conversation, if I do say so myself.
I am always just so enamored with Philippe whenever we get the chance to speak with him. We met him back during the Glenn Gould Prize jury in October, and he was a dazzling presence, to say the least.
Yes, he is. And I have to say, not just all the amazing things he's created, but, you know, his honesty and his lack of pretension. And I thought that I learned some things about him that I didn't know before from this conversation. It was really wonderful of him to share them with us.
Absolutely. I really respect his philosophy and just how much love for life he has. It's just always a pleasure to hear the way his mind works.
Yeah, it's I think it's not an exaggeration to say that there isn't anyone like him, and we are the richer for it. Anyway, it was really great of him to take time from his monk-like confinement, I know that we'll be looking at the wonderful things he creates with a different perspective now. And now, Olivia, as is our wont, time for a little housekeeping. Would you do the honors, please?
Of course. As you may know, for everything that we do here at the Glenn Gould Foundation, you can find it all on our website at www.glenngould.ca. We are a registered Canadian charity, and if you happen to come across that red donate button, we'd really appreciate it if you click on it. Furthermore, if you want to keep supporting the Gould Standard, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a rating and a review.
Thank you so much. And speaking of different perspectives, let us take a little time for a man of the past, Mr. Edison.
Mr. Edison, please.